universe is out there,
but out there is very big.
You've never been good at finding things.
You once got lost in a boots.
Do 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 ding. You're listening to PMQ.com. Prime Minister's Questions with me, Paddy Jones, and hey Rish. I don't like you. Hello. Welcome to Johnny and the Baptist. Happiness is out there today, live from bed. My name's Paddy Jones. I'm usually the second person to talk in the show, but I'm going first today. Hello. We're going to do a voice note one today because I'm sick. Paddy's very sick. But boy, howdy, am I upbeat. And have I got some news for yous. I'm sorry, this podcast is late this week, but I've just explained why. Everyone's very ill at the moment, so I think it must be that. Hello, I'm doing all right. Otherwise, I'm back from Glasgow. Spent the first half of this week in Glasgow, John and I, doing some filming and a gig. We had our first gig since Edinburgh Festival, and which ironically we had it in Edinburgh. So it seems odd. It's an odd tour route to do a show and then have a 9-week gap and then do another one in the same place. But it was very, very good. I got to play with some wonderful, wonderful people. The marvellous Alan Morton being a particular highlight, one of our very close friends of the show. We had a lovely time, and we played the Setlist Bingo, which we do when we haven't seen each other for a while, where we just write down all of our songs, and then people have to shout out letters and numbers. We ran out of letters. We had too many songs for letters, so we had to also get people to shout out punctuation. It was quite complicated. But it was really fun, and we've had a couple of days filming, and then I think I picked something grizzly up on the train from the very sick person next to me. But it's not their fault. It's not my fault. It was probably the railway's fault. But yeah, so I'm holed up today. I'm in bed. I've got a coffee. I think that's probably been a poor shout. At some point, maybe I'll get one of those like whoosh deliveries. I'll get some COVID tests and some Lemsip or some bollocks like that. I hope you're all doing well out there. I've just realized I don't know if this is for the main feed or Patreon, which is fine because we're the same on both. We're equally as professional on both ones. I'm thoroughly looking forward to doing this format again. It's been something that actually a few people have asked to hear again, to sometimes mix it up. It really works for me, because I don't have to go and get all my stuff. I'd like to ask Jonathan Donohoe, PMQs, how are you doing, Johnny? I mean, I already know, I've seen Johnny for a few days. I know he is about to undertake an enormous amount of childcare. He's also texting me during this, which he knows is really unhelpful. I'm getting distracted by the messages from him, which is awful. The one thing that you shouldn't have in a podcast recording is not being able to do it because of the other person on the podcast. Like, that's the sort of core ingredient you need is to be able to not have to stop or be distracted by that other person. But I don't think either of us have fully understood that yet. Anyway, lots of love to all of you. I'll do a response to all. Johnny's going to be in charge. He's going to do all the questions, you know, stuff like that. I'm going to do all my funny answers, which is very good. Someone pointed out the other day, I'll look up on Patreon to find out the actual name, but that we started putting out these cookery videos, right? And it's interesting that on stage and on the podcast, arguably, no, I don't know, on the podcast it's sort of in the middle, isn't it? On stage, it's very much Johnny's sort of chaos factor. He's, you know, incarnate. And I get And I get very frustrated and have to sort of hold everything together. And someone pointed out very accurately that on the cooking show, it's the complete opposite. And it's almost like me just getting to sort of swim in my revenge for a while. It's really fun. I really hope you enjoyed them. And I hope everyone's enjoying the Instagram and TikTok videos that we're putting up. Because we worked really hard on them. And it's not really our field, but we've got someone to help us sort of show us how to put them online and stuff like that. And we're really enjoying doing them. So I really hope you like them. If you haven't seen them, you can find them on our Instagram, which is www.johnnyandpattygoonline.com. It's an ellipses at the end. And then on our TikTok is, you just go up to your clock and say, well, I want to see the funny boys. Anyway, all right. Love you lots. I'll speak to you again very soon. Over to Johnny, the Prime Minister.
Oh, hello, Paddy. Well, it's quite a lot to unpack immediately there. I'm very sorry you're not very well. You had your train disaster. Now, it was always tough on the old trains at the moment. But yes, we've had a, you know, you're not feeling particularly well. I have had a really tough day, just feeling, I guess what you would call a low day. Nothing is wrong. I'm not seriously depressed or anything. I'm just, I've just had a real low. But I've snapped out of it, I feel, by doing an enormous amount of tidying and cleaning around the kitchen, bathroom areas of my house. I mean, that's not a metaphor. I'm not kitchen and bathroom area. I don't mean bum and tum. I mean my actual kitchen and my actual bathroom. What else did I want to respond very quick? I'm trying to remember all the things you said, but I'm struggling to hold them all in. So I'm going to do the quicker ones first, which is, yes, I think you're right about the cooking video, whoever said that. You are the chaos factor. And I think the problem is I'm the cook out of the two of us. You know, if you know, Paddy's learned to cook over the last 7 or 8 years, and he's become very good, actually. He makes a number of very nice things. Not quick, but very, very talented, and comes up with lovely ideas. Real problem if you want to eat before, like, 2 in the morning is the problem with Paddy's. Paddy will at midnight go, you're right, it's my turn to cook dinner. I'll go to the garage now to buy the ingredients. So it's never an early dinner with Paddy, but it's always very good food. But I've cooked all my life. I really enjoy it. And I suppose I was taking on the more kind of, if you think of those shows, I was the expert and Paddy was the clownish Silliman. Whereas obviously normally on stage, Paddy is the expert, the skilled musician. And I'm the... nightmare in a hat. That's very interesting. The thing I really wanted to talk about, I'm going to ask Paddy 2 questions, but maybe I'll just ask one in this segment. So the thing I will is that Paddy and I have done 2 things this week that were really interesting. They were very fun. They were a lot of work. But having mostly just done applications to the Arts Council and grant funding and trying to organise things and photo shoots and lots of things that we don't love that are sort of part and parcel of the job. This week we'd done a big gig, which was great fun, and then we did a day's filming. So we actually started doing our bloody job again. And what's interesting about that is I think we both found it, we had real highs, you know, like being on stage, which was wonderful, and we had a really lovely gig. But we also found it really hard, you know, because suddenly you've got to actually be, you know, it doesn't matter if you're not very good at the other stuff, you can complain about it. But this is the bit that you sort of build everything up for, and suddenly it's a bit of pressure. So I was thinking about that. We've got to write a whole new show, got to write this film, got to make the show that's coming out. And we had a really, really fun time on stage, and that was really good because that sort of sets us up for the new year. We're going to write a lot of new songs. We've got some great ideas, but we haven't really got anything finished. And then we did a day of filming. Now, I'm going to park the filming for a moment. We'll talk about that in the next segment. But today I'm going to talk about songs and live stuff. We've got some... I want to ask Paddy how he found the gig. if Harry enjoyed, because you talked about how much you enjoyed seeing Eleanor Morton and other people on the gig. That was Sean Burke, Michael Fry, brilliant comic called Crystal, whose surname I've briefly forgotten, but I'll remember later, and compere Mark Watson. Is at the Monkey Barrel in Edinburgh, which is just the loveliest venue with the best people. And our friend Claire works there and was making sure the night was a joy. And that is something she's exceptional at. So it was a real pleasure. But I wanted to talk to Penny. How did you feel being back on stage? Because that's really important. Do you actually really enjoy that? And secondly, how do you feel about the new stuff? Because we're going to write a whole new show, and that's quite daunting. But we're touring. Our next tour is two shows either side of an interval. The best of that we've just done in Edinburgh, and then the new show. So we've already, you know, sort of weirdly, we've already made 50% and parked it, and it's completely ready. And now we're just going to make the other half of the show. So that makes it slightly easier, or takes the pressure off a tiny bit, maybe. Well, how do you feel about all these things? We've got some great new songs coming up. They're all going to get here soon, including a song called The Brand New Dance, which is literally that we made. We've got a song about called Kids Don't Vape, which I think is going to be very funny, but we haven't quite landed yet. And then a song called Sommelier, about a sommelier, which is absolute gold, I believe. So, Paddy, tell me about how you felt about being on stage again, how you felt about the new stuff we've got, and lastly, how are you feeling about putting together the new show? Because I did want to say at the end, I started watching Get Back, the Peter Jackson directed, big, huge, massive sort of documentary films on the Beatles making the Let It Be albums. and I was thinking, God, because it was really fascinating, because we're not as good as the Beatles. I'm confident of that, and I'm not suggesting we are, but it was interesting because they're very brilliant, watching them. And on the first day, and Paddy will really, really, and Paddy, you and I haven't spoken about this, but it's something I think you're really going to understand and empathize with. On the first day, each of them, George, Paul and John, had written a really good bit of a new song, and John's was a song that will go on to be Don't Let Me Down, and George's is I can't remember, but anyway, didn't he say? And I think Ringo had actually written something as well, but there's the three big songwriters, they were coming with something. There was a few, you know, maybe just a few bars, and they were starting to jam them and put them together, and then by the end of the day, they didn't have any other new material, and they were starting to go through songs they'd written at 15 when they were the Quarrymen, and they ended up playing a couple of old, and it was hilarious, because like, they were like, yeah, maybe we could put this on the album. It was very clear they obviously weren't, but they were just getting what I call first day panics, where you're like, oh, because they're there to write it, so there's no panic. There shouldn't be, and they've got three licks that are already gorgeous and are going to be great. So they've already got like the basis of three songs, which is a quarter of the album if you 12 tracks, let's say. But they started going back, do you remember that song you wrote when you were 14? And they started playing. So I thought you'd find that very entertaining, buddy, because we, every time we start trying to make a new show, album, record, anything, we try and put some new stuff together, and then we immediately panic and start to go, well, there's one particular song we wrote called Bring Back Hanging, which we've never been able to make work, and has gone about 12 different iterations. It's never been funny. And we always like, this is the show. We've written it now. Over to you, Paddy. What do you think?
It's recording. This was very funny. I hugely enjoyed this. I'm back on my bed now. It's very good. I've done my list. I always do a list. For those of you who haven't heard any voice note episodes before, we have to text each other a list of what the other one said so that we can then see it on the screen when we're then recording our bit so that we don't forget. It's not a good system. And my first note I was very pleased with, because Johnny said he had a very low day. I'm very sorry about that. I did already bloody know it, because haven't we gone through it? That's very silly. But he said, I got through it by doing an enormous amount of And there was this long pause, and I was certain you were going to say Coke. that frenetic energy from the cooking episodes, I've found very fun, because I get to be very silly. And you're like, I have learned to cook. I've been a prep chef before. I've done all that gubbins, but I've never cooked. What I would say is I don't cook up until like I had up until I was sort of cooking every night for someone. I never really cooked for people. I'm very self-conscious about my cooking, because I know how to do all the gubbins and I've gotten very good at some things, but I'm always convinced that I'm going to cook something that people won't like. And then it will have not only been a waste of everyone's time, it'll also make them sad, and then they won't have dinner, or they won't be able to eat, or it'll have too many eggs in it or something. They'll get stuck in there. Like, I'm always very, very odd about it. So it's quite fun to have a zero consequence cooking thing, because what we're effectively doing is making bad food, and then sometimes it's edible and it's quite fun. But I need to get over that. I cooked for one of my friends the other day, and it was one of the first times I'd ever done it. Like they came, hung out of my house. I stood in the kitchen, and I made a slow-cooked ragu. It took ages. Now, I will accept, I like things that are... I don't like fast-thrown-together food. I like stuff that you can really, really sort of hang about with. Because, like, this is no longer relevant. But, like, when I used to live in my old house, I used to smoke whilst I was cooking if I was making Italian food, because I'd have a glass of red wine and I'd smoke in the kitchen. And it was great because I could hear people in the living room having a great time, and I could like put a podcast on in one headphone or put some music on or whatever, and just sort of like every now and then I'd be like, right, now I've just got to stand here for 20 minutes and have a couple of ciggies and like have a top of this lovely wine. But yeah, I've changed that, but I'm getting much better at it. I think you're really right about the application. It's really thrown me, man. I think that we did so many of them, and they're so fucking boring, and they take so much work. And they're not just like, it's not just data entry. You have to be on it. You need to know the language of it. You need to know the pitfalls. You need to know exactly how to phrase things. And you say who you're talking to. What they're, you know, they're literally going to be ticking boxes next to you, and there's no instruction manual that makes any bloody sense, you know. So going back to gigging and filming, it was jarring. I thought the gig was really fun, and I was expecting to hate it. I know that sounds very strong, but I was on the train up, and I hadn't traveled in a while, and I think my first worry was I'm going to get sick, and now look, I did, but I've just got to accept that. But it was really good, and it went really well because we were allowed to. I think we had quite a lot of pent up energy to be fun and silly, and it was a really good audience with really good comedians and really good people around. It was just nice. And then I found the filming. We had a few really good bits, and then I just got into this absolute funk where I was like, "Oh, I'm not really funny anymore," and also I don't really want to. I don't really want to talk about happiness when I'm not very happy. Like, I seem to talk to people about mental health all the time, and I like doing that because I think I'm good at it, and I like being, I think I can elaborate my feelings a lot better than I used to, but because everyone's going through the ringer at the moment, you're like, oh, all I seem to talk about is how unobtainable the good is. And I find that pretty exhausting. I think that just got me down. So doing the songs on stage, lovely time. Yum, yum, yum. Had a Guinness. My next note, I've written CARG, which is CKARG. Now, I don't know what that was, so I'm going to skip it. Here's the problem, is what I've written here. The problem is, I was trying to work this out earlier on. No one can be good at everything, right? And if you are, then you are, what a waste. And I think I can shift between being good at things, but I struggle to be good at lots of things at once. And if you're just good at one thing for too long, you get sick of it. And so I think, like, on tour, for example, you can only really focus on touring. We always convince ourselves that on tour, we're also going to do a million other things, like, oh, we'll go to these museums and then we'll write a show and then we'll do the podcast and then we'll, oh, we can go and visit this person. And, oh, actually, we could. And actually, when you're doing it, you're like, nope, I can do one thing, and it is wheeling myself out on stage and making sure I bring that correct energy. And then I've just got to kind of stay in that zone for 22 hours until we do it again. And when we switched over to sort of funding stuff and having to sort of keep ourselves afloat, which is still ongoing, I would say, you have to unlock a whole new skill set and start using that. So doing that and gigging, and as Johnny says, like, for, you know, doing photo shoots and getting the copy ready for the new tour, and then, like, we're doing film and the podcast and writing this, and also there's rent pay and the cost of living's gone up and there's people to look after and things. You're like, oh, I can't be good at all of this. So what do I do? And you start to lose faith, I think, in, like, what you are, because I can't remember what we said the other day, Johnny, but there was some, you know, the joke that we always make of, do you remember when we used to be comedians? Because if there was a few years where it was just that, where it was just like, cool, as long as we walk out there and do our thing, it's going to be great. But now we're also, you know, small business owners, because we have to keep our business afloat so we can pay our rent. And we're also, you know, and now we're making a film and now we're doing that. And it's like, it's because we're versatile and we have big ideas and we're really fun and we're leading exciting lives. When you throw that in with also all the administration and just the world being more difficult, it can become very, very overwhelming. I'm finding that really difficult. And then whenever I get ill, I'm then like, well, it's all fucked. Everything's fucked, because you just watch time slip away and you feel like shit. So anyway, sorry, that was a long rant. But yeah, the new songs that Johnny's talking about are going to be very good. Sommelier, I'm very excited about, because I told our friend of the podcast, James Rowland, about it the other day, and he laughed for ages, and then he said, based on that, are you sure you know what a sommelier is? And I realized I'd never looked it up, and I'm not going to, and I'm hoping that that'll be part of what makes the song quite funny. And I totally get the Beatles documentary thing, and I haven't seen it, but we do that every year. Bring Back Hanging, core example, but it happened the other day when you were like, oh, have you got any of these new songs? And I was like, yeah, we've got, and then I was looking through my notes and I was like, do you remember that song we did called I'm Sorry I'm on the Toilet? And I was like, I think it's really thematically relevant to this show. We should revisit that. And then you were like, oh, do you remember that bit we did about phone sex? Maybe we should do something about happiness that's actually about long distance relationships, and we could put phone sex. Before you know it, you've built a set list of stuff that years before you were like, well, this is pants. So yeah, I'm sure we will, maybe one old song will make an appearance if we can, you know, but it is quite rare that that actually works out. Right, my final note was First Day PAJIXS, which I imagine was First Day Panic. I think we've now got through that day, but because we're not full-time making a new show and we're splitting our time, I think that First Day Panic is going to last a lot longer. We can't just judder out of it in the way that we can when we're on tour and stuff, where you're like, oh, well, now the show's up and running. It's going to be different, and I think we're going to have to get used to that. I've been talking for nearly 10 minutes, so Jonathan, please move on to the second slide.
Well, thank you, Paddy. That was lovely. I didn't take notes. I normally do. So I don't have a list of notes to go through to remind myself all the things you said. And the reason I didn't take notes is because I was loading the dishwasher while I listened to what you were saying. Oh, la-dee-da. Look at Mr. Dishwasher. Oh, he's got a dishwasher. Must be cunt of the year. Anyway, so I do have a dishwasher. It's very bourgeois, isn't it? Anyway, so, yes, so basically, I don't have notes. I don't have the list of things. But I did read yours, and one of them was, yes, you said Clarg or something. And I was like, well, I don't know how much better it is to have them, to be honest, based on that. Yeah, I want to reiterate, having really this, that I still just and I know I said it and you've said it. I just want to reiterate that we don't believe ourselves to be as good as the Beatles at what we do or what they did or anything. Just worth saying, isn't it? Before you start. Yes, we talked about all sorts of things, you know, anxiety and the gigs and shit. I think it is funny. You do compartmentalize yourself, don't you? And you sort of get used to doing a particular thing, and then you find it very hard to go back and be the person who just makes silly stuff. But yes, that's the kind of, there's always a big, I'm always very anxious at the start. So once you've got quite a bit of material, I'm like, great, we're fine. It's going to be great. But up until that point, I'm very kind of jumpy. And I'd love to be in a situation where we made a show and then booked a tour. Because I think that would be really smart. But we don't have the skill set for that. Because if we did that, we'd just never ever tour ever again, because we just wouldn't bother doing anything. We'd be like, I can only work to a deadline. ADHD, I guess, but also, you know, sort of incompetence, in a wide variety of things like that. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you, Paddy, because you sort of touched upon this, but we're making this film about happiness, as good listeners will know, which is our first day of filming. And I want to sort of touch on what you sort of felt about that, because what we ended up doing, I'll give you a little pricey, and then Paddy will tell you what he thought, is, along with filmmaker Connor O'Toole, we went to the local library and we took out every book we could find on happiness. We sort of had a read through them and discussed them and thought about it. And one of the main things we discovered is that none of these books are very helpful to us. And in fact, possibly are very helpful. Generally, a lot of it is sort of bollocks. And also, a lot of the advice to be happy is in itself slightly problematic, let's say. My favourite book, because we got out, you know, 10 ways to be happy, or how to improve your happiness, or how you can be 5 times happier and 3 times bigger and 2 times smaller. And then we also got How to Raise a Happy Cat, which I would argue gave us very little, very, very little whatsoever advice or help, because it was mostly about sort of grooming and molting. And, you know, I mean, aside from the fact that Paddy's got very long hair, it was bad advice for our life. And then another one was called The Happy Traitor, which was about how George Blake, the KGB mole who worked for, he was sort of double agent, wasn't he? if you know your history, which I didn't, was very, very happy whilst doing it. We didn't do it, a lot of people said that was sort of psychopathic, the happiness, because he didn't bother him that other people, he was making people unhappy. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing to work for the KGB. I'm not sure that I'm saying it's not. I don't really want to have an opinion publicly on that, but as regular listeners will know, I'm much more pro the USSR than most people. Let's just be very clear here. I'm not apologizing for Stalin. I'm just saying that I think a lot of communism, some of the ideas were very good. Sure, mistakes were made, as Alexei Sale's mother famously said. And there was a lot of murder and repression. But anyway, and the KGB, look, I'm getting off the point. And the point is that George Blake wasn't a double agent for ideological reasons. It wasn't because he was a devout communist that he decided to sort of play for the other team. It wasn't because he wanted a load of money. He just sort of seemed to do it, and there wasn't really an explanation for it. And he also seemed incredibly happy, and he went to his imprisonment equally happy. So that's interesting. You know, is being happy quite a sort of problematic thing in and of itself, because there's so much to be unhappy about. Turn on the news right now and you'll see it everywhere. Now, I've got slightly off the subject, but that's something I really thought about. So that was the one. What's interesting is the one book that we got out that actually wasn't about what we were talking about was much more relevant than all the happiness things. Paddy, discuss. I just listened back to that recording, Paddy, and I know you're about to record your response, and you don't need to listen to this bit before you do, but I was wandering around, you know, because I was trying to get other jobs done for the laundry. You know, there's a lot to do, and maybe I wasn't paying enough attention, and I ended up really, really sort of advocating for the KGB. I should be just very clear on the fact that, you know, thinking about it, I'm not actually in favour of the Soviet Secret Service militia that operated from 1956 to 1991 and caused extraordinary repression amongst the citizens of the USSR. And the countries behind the Iron Curtain. So I think I've just been more clear on that. Johnny Donahoe, very funny, nice person, not pro-KGB. That's the headline you've got to take away from all of this. Sometimes isn't paying attention really when he's thinking or talking. Doesn't advocate the KGB returning. That you know, or dictatorship of any form and a sort of military style service operating as a secret police. Shit.
Oh, he's got a dishwasher. Here we go. What a dick. Or car wash my undercar, put me in the machine. Hello, dish man. So we have in our flat a dishwasher. We don't own the flat, so it was very much there when we arrived, and there's like a high chance it'll be there when we get evicted. But we saw it, and they were like, oh, and it's got a dishwasher. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to use that. And they were like, oh, but you really should, it's really good. And I was like, yeah, but like, I'll just do the washing up, it's fine. And we just left this thing sort of sat there, and it takes up quite a lot of space. And then I used it for the first time a few weeks ago. Because I found some old dishwasher tablets under the sink that clearly the last tenant had left or something. And I was like, oh, I'll give it a go. And what I will say is everything was very clean, and it was quite easy. But I'm now rationing. We have about 9 tablets, and I'm like, look, if shit gets real bad, we use one. Hasn't happened again yet. We've still only used it once. I've also got a bag of salt, which apparently is relevant, which I haven't quite worked out yet. But I'd like to clarify that I do think we're the Beatles. I think we're the next Beatles. I think we were the last Beatles. That's what people call us on the circuit. John the Baptist, they were the Beatles. Now they're not. We're sort of both Yoko, aren't we? I don't know much about the Beatles. I didn't really grow up listening to the Beatles. I know that they're very good. I know who they are. I think I've met Paul McCartney. But I was more of an Ian Dury baby. You know, I saw Kilburn and the High Roads kid. Because of my father's tastes. So, yeah, that I just wanted to clarify. I do think with the Beatles. How did I feel about the Happy film? So going to the library, that was very fun. We ran to communist poet Henry Bell. We stopped him doing his work. Then we took a load of books out. I found a book called I'm Glad My Mum Is Dead, which I thought was really funny. Yeah, but then when we were going to read them, I think, well, you see, the problem is, I hope it made for some good footage. I was in a terrible mood because I was starting to feel ill. I was very tired. And also, I think, as I said in the last voice message, I realized, I was like, oh no, we're about to embark on something where I'm going to have to talk about my mental health a lot. And I was just tired of doing it, which is bad for day one, but it's only because before that day, there'd been about 2,500 days of it already. And it's funny that that one moment when it's like, oh, now someone's listening, I was like, oh, it's too much. So I think I was making an awful lot of jokes whilst getting gradually crabbier at the idea of a book. It's a funny one, isn't it? Like, because we have to confront it every single day. But then when you've got a system, you kind of want to stick to it. And then I was like, oh, I don't want to do anything like performative about this if I don't think I'm actually helping. So if I'm going to be really honest, am I just going to not be helpful? So you got to, I don't know. So I think I feel really good about it because I'm glad we started. But at the same time, I was like, this is really hard. And then your message did become a lot more about the KGB than I thought, sort of when I went into listening to the message. I did think, oh, this is quite a lot, isn't it, about the KGB? And then your follow-up message does sound like you then Googled it and discovered what it was, as opposed to thinking it was, you know, the cool guy bunch or great begins with a G. Anyway, I'm glad you issued a statement on behalf of Johnny and the Baptist for where we stand on the KGB amidst our gentle mental health podcast. I've also written DuskSysk, which is DuskSys, which I imagine is discuss, but I didn't link that to a different point, so I imagine it's just a command for me to discuss. And now I've frozen. You see, that's sort of what happens with me. I just got off the phone with my dad. So in between these messages, I'm making phone calls. Because I'm such a, I've got to call Zurich. My dad sends his love. He was in a very excitable mood because we haven't spoken for a while. He's furious that I have a cold, because he thinks that I'm ill whenever he talks to me, which is true. Whenever I talk to him, it's not like he'll only ring if I'm sick. That's not true at all. We actually speak quite a lot. But he sends his love. He hopes you're well. Sends love to Josie and the girls. His music festival went well. He's vowed to never do it again. He's going to pass it off to someone younger and more experienced. But his band played and went down very well. He's very pleased about that. I don't know why I'm just talking about my dad. And it was also the first time this year, I believe, we had a discussion about Christmas, because we're on that Christmas creep, and so we're starting now in the planning phase for, you know, who's going to be where and when, and also it's my sister-in-law's 40th birthday on Christmas Day, and so we've also got to sort of plan that, and I heard that, and I love Christmas, but I heard that, and I suddenly went, oh, fuck, because I remember my birthday this year quite recently, which was January 22nd, and it occurred to me that, you know, it's now nearly my birthday again, and the inexorable march of time it's not been a slow one this year. Anyway, I'm feeling good. I'm gonna make a hot toddy, and I'm gonna cook something stupidly late. More thoughts on the KGB to come from Mr. Donohoe.
Well, I'm glad your dad's well. And he sends his love. That's the way I send mine back. I enjoy how, I think, in that last message, you lost any pretense of this being a podcast for the people listening, and just decided it was a voice note for me, wasn't it? Sort of, oh, my dad says, can you return that ladder you borrowed, Johnny? It sort of got into some good stuff there, which I enjoyed much better than my KGB bizarre. I don't know. I'm tired. I'm tired. I've put out, while I've done this, I've done two dishwasher loads, all the washing up and hung out the laundry. So I do think, and please send in your feelings about this. But if you enjoy the voice note podcast system as much as we enjoy making it, let us know, because we should do them more often. Because frankly, I mean, it's just incredible for getting stuff done. Because, you know, you think, well, you know, Paddy's got to record his thing. I've got to then listen to it. So there's all these breaks where I just do jobs instead of watching telly or just sort of falling asleep. Well, look, I think we've said enough this week. This is an episode for everyone, for Patreon and for all of our listeners. Thank you so much for continuing to listen, if you do. We will be back next week with a more traditional podcast recorded over the internet together using our new system, Riverside FM, which don't sponsor us, so I shouldn't mention them. it'll be more normal, and it should be on Monday, as opposed to this one, which has been recorded very late on Thursday night, so we'll probably go out tomorrow. On behalf of myself and my colleague, Paddy Jervis, thank you so much. I'm going to finish off here, because I think, frankly, we've said enough, and also, clearly, Paddy has got to go and make a 2 in the morning put in Asker or something, so that he can feed himself and his family. Much love to everyone. See you next week. Thanks for listening. Good night.
If happiness is even real, then finding it is not for you. But it's never too late to give up. Everyone will only let you down. What doesn't kill you will hurt you. Do you really want to take the risk? What goes up must come down. So maybe stop going up altogether. What goes around comes around. So why not just stay in your chair forever? Chair is safe.